You're listening to the Parkside Christian Church podcast. Here at Parkside, our mission is to love God, love people, and help others do the same. To learn more, visit ParksideChristian.com.
Good morning, everyone. I thought there was supposed to be a bumper video right there, so I'm sorry. But we'll just go right ahead with this. This is good. It's good to see everybody. Glad you're here. Thanks for coming today. Thanks to those who are tuning in online. We just appreciate your presence and just glad you're here. My name is Randy Shivers. If you do not know me, I'm thankful to be the shepherding minister here at Parkside. And I'm just always thankful when it's my opportunity to share and talk with you and look at, and I really like this theme we're doing, Memorize This. Before I do that, I just want to say it's been a busy week. How many of you have had students go off to school this week? A lot of more smiles this week. There you go, a few there. And pray for those kids. Pray for those moms and dads. It's another year watching those kids get on that bus and pull away. Wow, it's just a reminder. Just life just goes fast, so enjoy every moment of it, that's for sure. We also had a really fun day at Family Fun Camp yesterday out at Woodland Lakes. What a great time. The people that showed up and the climbing wall and the zip line and the hatchet throwing. And it's archery. We had a lot of fun. And then yesterday also, we had a group of about 15 people that went down to Eastern Kentucky to help out and work down there. And Randy Adams is telling me they just had a great day, and it was really a blessing to be together and do that. Wow, and I also want to tell you that our team, our mission team, that went to encourage our mission partner, they got there safe and sound. The supplies are there safe, and they got delivered. And man, they're worshiping together today, and it's just a beautiful thing. So all is well. Just wanted to let you know that. All is well with that. So that's great. But I am glad, like I said, that you're here, and I'm glad we're doing this series called Memorize This. So we're going to get right into it, because I really think it is important to put God's Word in your heart. And I want to start off this morning by reading you several scriptures. People who helped write the Bible say why it is important for you to have the Bible in your life. Let's start right away. And if you want to get out that piece of paper that you've been given, that handout, there's a place there. You might want to write these passages down, and then you can look at them later. But we're going to read them together right now. So here we go, starting with Deuteronomy. Moses wrote this. He said, "These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your house and on your gates." David, he said this, "How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart so that I might not sin against you." New Testament, Paul, he wrote this in Colossians. He said, "Let the word of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your heart." He also wrote to his young mentor, Timothy. He said, "All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." The Hebrew writer took the time to say this about God's word. He said, "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart." Alive and active. God's word is eternal. It is always at work. And then Peter, one of Jesus' close friends, wrote this. He said, "But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect." So why should we put God's word in our heart? So that we can know God, so that we can know his will, so that we can know his commands, so that they're there, they're instant recall. So when we get in our situations, they come to us. We want to know God's word because it helps us to stay pure and pleasing to God, to avoid sin, which we all have a problem with. You want to know God's word so you can gain wisdom and discernment, so you can make good decisions, so you know the options and to say, okay, here's what I should do. We want to be equipped for every good work. We want to help others, teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training them in righteousness. Knowing God's words help you to endure, mature, and to overcome so many spiritual issues that happen in our lives. And then lastly, just to remember that last verse that Peter said, to always be ready to give an answer. If you don't know what you believe, how are you going to give that answer? You need God's word, because God's word is where the power is. God's word is where the strength is. Now you may say, but I can't memorize. I just don't think I can memorize anything, which that's probably usually my excuse. And as we get older, we try to use that excuse a little bit more. But we do memorize telephone numbers. We do memorize passwords. Well, but unless you're like me and you have a little book there where you cheat all the time and go back and find those. But we do have the ability to memorize. And even if we can't memorize, we should at least make sure we know where to find these things and where to get the help we need. And when you memorize, it's really important that you remember why you're memorizing it. If you remember the value of that verse or that passage or that situation, that's going to help you to bring it back when you need it. You also memorize by repeating and repetition. This is not a one-off. You have to continue to read God's word, put it in your heart, and each time you do, that's just a little bit more stickiness to you as you remember God's word. And I want to encourage you, when you try to memorize things, to find a rhythm. Find a rhythm. Maybe even put it to music. You know, throughout centuries, people have been putting the Bible to music, so I'm going to take some verses here, a little test. Take a breath, a little bit test, and I'm going to read a verse, and you let me know if you can recall a song that uses these words in it, okay? First of all, the passage is Lamentation. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassion never fails. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Anybody recognize that? No song from that goes with that. Okay, here one, Psalms 1:8. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. There, you know a song that goes with that? How about Psalms 139? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there be any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Recognize a song that goes with that? There you go. Music can help us do that. How about Philippians? Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. We sing that little chorus all the time. Matthew 6, Jesus' words, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. And lastly, just one last one. Here's one that these are words from Jesus. Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, therefore, everyone who hears the words of mine and puts them into practice is like the wise man built his house upon the rock. Remember that one? Anybody? There you go. And the rains came down and the floods came up and the house on the rock stood firm. But the foolish man built his house upon the sand and the rains came down and the floods came up. And what happened? Splat. There you go. The house went down. Those are the words of Jesus. And I just want you to remember, sometimes when you put it with a song and you recall that, you need to remember that God's word is alive and active and will help you in your times of need. The wise person hears the words of Jesus. The words of Jesus, and puts them into practice. So now we're going to focus in on today's verse. I picked out this verse because I just thought it's a verse that really helped me, and it's 1 Corinthians 10:13. So if you want to take your Bible, but we're going to read it together, and actually we're going to read it. I'm going to try and help you memorize it here just a little bit to kind of play that game a little bit. We're going to read it together, and then we're going to read it together again. I'm going to leave some words off and see if you can remember those, and we're going to try that. Okay, here we go. Let's read this together. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will provide a way out so that you can endure it. Okay. You go, that's way too long, Randy. That verse is way too long. But that's okay. I really think this is a verse that can help us. So we're going to try it one more time. And now we're going to leave off a couple words, and you see if you can help still remember it. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, and when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Okay, now we're going to do it one more time and leave out a few more words, and I'm not hearing you very well, because that may be me. But let's try this again, okay? No has. Okay, this is a pass and test, pass or fail test. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to man. kind, and God is, and he will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are, he will provide a way out so that you can endure it. Okay. Now, obviously, that's not going to be enough for you to remember it right now. But I would say, encourage you this week to read this verse over and over again, because temptation is something that we all deal with. Temptation is a test. And that's pure and simple. It's a test. You know, I learned, this is a verse that I was encouraged to memorize when I was doing a Navigator's Bible study program. And this is one of the verses they said, here, you want to memorize this. And you want to, ever since that, a lot of times when I'm in a temptation, when I'm in a situation where I'm being tempted, I remember this verse. It takes me back to this verse. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. Now, I learned it as man, but they've mankind it there, so that's good. But temptation is a test. Temptation literally means to put through a trial to test, to persuade, to attract, entice, or to create a desire for something. Now, what comes to your mind when you hear the word temptation? How about this? This is what I think of. I feel like sometimes I got a little angel on one shoulder and a little devil on the other shoulder. Anybody else ever feel like that? You know, you feel like you have these voices going into your head, and what am I supposed to do? Yes, that is a temptation. That is a test. Think about it. Should I get that second plate of food? Should I tell this story that I'm not sure where the source is? I really want that. Oh, I'd really like to have that. Maybe I should lie. Maybe I should cheat here. Or I'm really angry. Maybe I should hurt somebody. You ever had those temptations? And those are the battles that go on in our minds. And it's like whatever voice we're listening to. And when we know God's word, that voice is louder, then we have more hope in dealing with a situation that comes our way. Temptation, what this verse tells me is temptation is common to everyone. You just need to know that. You are not alone in your temptation. Everybody deals with temptation. And it says they've all been common to mankind, and this was written 2,000 years ago, and that's kind of something good to know, that human nature really has not changed in the thousands of years that it's been in existence. Solomon said it many years ago, there is nothing new under the sun. He was not talking about automobiles or technology or cell phones. He was talking about human nature. There is nothing new. Our desires, what we deal with, the temptations we face, they're always been there. And they're common with everyone. Everyone deals with temptations. As a matter of fact, even Jesus was tempted. When he was here, he was tempted like everyone else. That's what the Hebrew writer said. He said, for we do not have a high priest, and it's talking about Jesus right there, who was unable to empathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Jesus was tempted. Don't think that he came in here and didn't deal with anything that we dealt with. He dealt with temptation. He dealt with the same feelings that you are feeling with, the human needs, the selfish needs, all those kind of things, and yet Jesus never sinned. He never disobeyed God in that whole situation. Now, we think it's because he had some insight, and he did have an insight. He was the Son of God, but he also had to deal with all these earthly temptations, and yet he knew how to avoid those. And that's what the next part of the verse says. It says, you can overcome. You can deal with the temptation, except for his common man. And it says, God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. You can handle this. Now, you need to be careful, because this is a verse I think that gets misinterpreted sometimes. You see, it says, your temptations, he won't let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. That's a temptation. Sometimes people will say, well, God won't give you more than you can handle. There's a difference there. But the temptation part of it is, the test part of it, God is with you, God is faithful. Those are things you need to remember, that God is with you and he is there, but he can help you handle those temptations. And so there are times in this life where it just feels like it's too much. We're dealing with too much. But again, the promise is that he won't give you more than you can bear. And then it says, he will provide you with a way out. Isn't that a great promise? He will provide you with a way out when you are tempted. Now, it is important that we remember this. Temptation is not sin. Two different things. To be tempted is not the same as sinning. Sinning is disobeying God. It is looking at God, and whether it's willfully or unknowingly, it is saying, I'm going to do things my way. Sin is disobeying God. And we need to come to grips with that. It's not just doing bad things. Sin is disobeying God. It's not doing things in faith. It's not doing the things we know we ought to do. Disobeying God is sin. As a matter of fact, James, Jesus' brother, as Greg mentioned, he also says this. He said, when tempted, chapter 1, verse 13, 14, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by what? Their own evil desire and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Sin is the real problem. Sin is what separates us from God, not temptation. Sin. And we need to come to grips with that. And you know, when God put eternity in our hearts, that's what Solomon called it. He said, God has put eternity in all man's hearts. He created that longing and that desire in each and every one of us to be right with God, to come home. But you know, you can't come home until you come clean. It's kind of like the prodigal son. You have to come to grips with where you're at, and you got to be able to say, God, I need you. But we do have an enemy. We have an enemy that doesn't want us to have a relationship with God, and that is Satan. And Satan has all sorts of skills that we need to be very careful of. We had a missionary come to our church when I was a kid, and I've remembered this story ever since. He said, Satan is like a very good fisherman. I know I've shared this before, but I want to just remind you. He is like a very good fisherman. He knows exactly what bait to use on you. Say the same bait doesn't work on everybody, but he does know the bait that works on you. Now, I do want to clarify that, because it's what it says. It says in 1 Peter, Peter said this too, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith. Matthew and Luke both wrote about Satan tempting Jesus. And then in those passages, you can find out that if Satan was bold enough to tempt the Son of God, he is definitely not scared of tempting you. We need to be careful because he is like a roaring lion seeking who he can desire. Now, you get the idea that we think, well, Satan knows everything. He doesn't. Satan is not all-knowing. He is not God. He is not all-knowing. He has to roam around, and he has to see what we're doing. He sees what we're up to. He sees what we're looking at. He sees what we're doing, and then he takes and puts his temptations in our path to suck us into his destruction. He knows when we're weak. He knows when we're vulnerable. Just like when Jesus had fasted for 40 days, that's when he approached him with these temptations. He challenges our identity. You know, when he was tempting Jesus, he said, if you really are the Son of God. You know, he knew he was the Son of God, but he planted that seed of doubt. If you are. And he does that with us too. If you really are a follower of Jesus, if you really loved God, you would, if that, those seeds of doubt can work so much problems in our lives. And then it gets you to focus on your own desires and your own pleasures, you know, and your own satisfaction. What do you want? That's what he did to Eve. He said, what did God really tell you about this fruit? Well, if we eat it, we'll die. And he said, you won't die. He didn't lie, but he also didn't tell the whole truth. Because that test that Eve failed that day brought death into the world. But he gets you to focus on what you want and your pleasure. He wants you to become your own God. And that's what that's his desire. He wants you to forget about God. He wants you to forget about the consequences. And he wants you to go for those selfish momentary pleasure. I got a parable I want to tell you. And maybe you've heard this story before. But it's a story written by Arnold Lobel about the toad and the frog. And it's a cute story. And you listen and we'll bring it together at the end. Toad baked some cookies. These cookies smell very good, said Toad, and he ate one. And they taste even better, he said. So Toad ran to Frog's house. Frog, Frog, cried Toad, taste these cookies I have made. Frog ate one of the cookies. These are the best cookies I've ever eaten, said Frog. So Frog and Toad ate many cookies, one after another. "You know, Toad," said Frog with his mouth full, "I think we should stop eating. We will soon be sick." "You are right," said Toad. "Let us eat one last cookie, and then we will stop." Frog and Toad ate one last cookie. There were many cookies left in the bowl. "Frog," said Toad, "let's just eat one very last cookie, and then we'll stop." Frog and Toad ate one very last cookie. "We must stop eating," cried Toad as he ate another cookie. "Yes," said Frog, reaching for the cookie. "We need willpower." "What is willpower?" asked Toad. "Willpower is trying hard not to do something that you really want to do," said Frog. "You mean like trying not to eat all these cookies?" asked Toad. "Right," said Frog. So Frog put the cookies in a box. "There, now we will not eat any more cookies." "But we can open the box," said Toad. "That is true," said Frog. So Frog tied a string around the box. "There, now we will not eat any more cookies. But we can cut the string and we can open the box," said Toad. "That is true," said Frog. Frog got a ladder and he put the box up on a high shelf. "There," said Frog, "now we will not eat any more cookies. But we can climb the ladder and take the box down from the shelf and cut the string and open the box," said Toad. "That is true," said the Frog. So Frog climbed up the ladder, took the box down from the shelf, he cut the strings, he opened the box. Frog took the box outside and he shouted with a loud voice, "Hey birds, here are cookies." The birds came from everywhere. They picked up all the cookies in their beak and they flew away. "Now we have no more cookies to eat," said Toad sadly. "Not even one." "Yes," said Frog, "but we have lots of willpower." "You can keep your willpower, Frog. I'm going to go home and bake a cake." You know, as Christians, sometimes we take that Frog and Toad approach to temptation and the things the temptations we face. And we think that if we just place enough obstacles in the way of these things that tempt us, we will avoid doing those things that we ought not to do. But much too often, we end up like the Frog and the Toad, and we really haven't dealt with the source of the temptation. And even when we do manage to avoid some undesirable activity, we often just trade it in for something else, like the cookie for the cakes. Small or big, temptations can be a real battle. I got to meet Rich Mullins back in the early 80s when I was a minister on staff out in Colorado. He came and sang at our church, and we talked, and then we got to catch up from time to time at CIY, Christian Youth Conferences and things like that, and just to talk. And I wouldn't dare say I was one of his dear friends or anything, but I did know him and did get to talk to him. So I had a good friend that gave me the book on that had been written about Rich Mullins, The Arrow to Heaven. And there's a whole chapter in there where he talks about dealing with temptation in his life. And in that time, he had gone to Amsterdam. And there he was surrounded in Amsterdam. And anybody who knows anything about Amsterdam knows you can do about anything you want there. And there are no ramifications. There's nothing's hardly illegal there. You can just kind of do whatever you want. And he said he found himself in a very dark place there in Amsterdam. Even though he loved God and he loved Jesus very much, he just was so tempted to do all these things that he had never had a chance to do, and because he was worried about getting caught. And now he had that chance. And when he was in that moment in his life is when he wrote the song, "Hold Me, Jesus," which go just start like this. He says, "Well, sometimes my life just don't make it sense at all. When the mountains look so big and my faith seems so small, hold me, Jesus, because I'm shaken like a leaf. You have been my King of glory. Won't you be my Prince of Peace?" See, when we're dealing with temptation, it's a battle. And you need to recognize that as a battle. And Paul knew this battle. In Romans 7, he said this. He said, I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. You ever felt like that? And he said, he goes on to say, what a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is so subject to death? And then he says this, thanks be to God who delivers us through our Lord Jesus Christ. So as we consider the sources of our temptation that lead us to disobey God, we need to remember that those sources are our own desires. And we need to ask ourselves, do our desires match up with God's desires? And when you take the time to do that little analysis, you're going to find out when you match up with God's desires, your life is going to go a whole lot more smoother. It doesn't mean you're going to be not going to deal with certain things, but you are going to have a better life, and you're going to deal with those as you deal with those temptations. Thankfully, through God, we are delivered through Jesus. So do we do. Let's go back to that verse one more time. It says, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. First of all, we need to recognize the situation that we're in. Recognize it for what it is. You are in a test. Whether you need to use the little visual of the angel and the devil or whatever situation may help you to deal with that, you need to recognize I am in a test, and right now I'm dealing with something that can either, that I got to make a choice on. The second thing you need to do is you got to remember the promise. Remember the promise. God will not give you more than you can bear. That's a promise. And then also, if you don't remember any more in this verse, please remember this. God is faithful. If you can't remember the whole verse, just remember that. God is faithful. That is a timeless truth that will help you deal with more things than you can realize. If you don't remember anything else, please remember that God is faithful. He is not the one that changes. We're the ones living in a world full of change, a world full of problems, a world full of situations that we just don't understand, but God is faithful. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the last thing you need to remember is this. You need to realize that there is a way out. There is a way out somewhere, somehow, someone. You can walk away. You don't have to say anything when you're tempted to say something bad. My mom and dad used to say, if you don't have something nice to say, don't say anything at all. Sometimes we just need to keep our mouths shut. But don't say anything. Change the subject. Call a friend. There is a way out. And here's the one I really think we need to focus in on. It says we need to pray. When you find yourself in the middle of temptation, you need to talk to God. Stop right then and talk to God. Because as a matter of fact, when Jesus taught his disciples how to pray, what did he say? Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So I just want to encourage you those words. And remember that, I just want you to encourage you to remember that verse. And here's why. Because when you find victory over temptation, test, and trials, it will make you stronger. Again, James says this. Consider it a pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete and not lacking in another. So when you have those moments when you feel like, I just don't know what to do, I encourage you, let Jesus rescue you from yourself and from your temptations. Let's pray. Father God, I am so thankful that we can come to you and know that your words are alive and active. They can still penetrate into our hearts, into our minds, into our soul. They still can draw us to you. And Lord, I pray that they will. I thank you that you are faithful, that you're always there for us. And Lord, I just pray that you will bless us with your presence and your peace, You are our Savior, but we also ask that you will be our Prince of Peace. Help us as we deal with the crazy things of this life. Help us to focus in on you. And Lord, I just pray that you'll bless our time together. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening. You can stay connected with us throughout the week by following Parkside on social media. To learn more, visit parksidechristian.com.